For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Well, this is a difficult scripture to deal with. Okay, it means that if we see sin in our brothers or sisters, we need to confront them. Well, you know, we Anglicans really don't confront anybody. Amen? Right? We just kind of stay in our own little pew, you know, and pray to the Lord. In fact, you know, I don't know if you remember, but in the liturgy when we began to introduce the peace, which we'll do today, people were not used to that at all. People were a little shaky about that. I mean, it meant that you like had to extend your right hand, you know, and greet people on Sunday. Oh my goodness, this has never happened before. So that was part of liturgical renewal where we were trying to get people to understand what we're doing today is what the community does. Okay. Greeting, praying together, and maybe even confronting sin are all elements that are an important part of being the community. Amen? Amen. Now, don't be afraid. I'm not going to get after you. No, I know Pastor Brian here has been telling you to be good Anglicans. You have to sit quietly and listen to whatever the pastor's saying, stuff like that, and I'm sure you obey him. But some of us, Anglican bishops in particular, like to hear the congregation, make sure you're there. That's why I like to wander around, checking on people, making sure they're not sleeping during the sermon. Amen? Amen. Amen. There we go. Now we're talking. Praise the Lord. So there are crucial things that are important for the community to do. Sometimes those things are not always what we would say are what we like to do. We don't like to confront sin, do we? But we're living in a time right now where sin is kind of in charge, right? And where we see sin all the time. You know, sometimes we invite sin in if some of the stuff that we're watching on TV is just plain sinful. So we invite it into our homes, and there it is, and you know, and we're accustomed to participate in this because there it is. We don't have anything else to do. But our spirit is saying, you know, this is not good. This is not really good. We better turn this off. And so I invite you, if the Holy Spirit is telling you to turn something off, do it. Do it. Because our culture has made sin of no consequence. In other words, we don't see sin being dealt with today at a regular level. We see things that have never been accepted before done. And so it seems that it has no consequence. But sin has consequence. Amen? Amen. And so as Christians who follow the Lord Jesus and who believe in God's 10 tips, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? The 10 tips, right? The 10 tips that God gives us so that we can have abundant life and a happy life. And even though some of these tips kind of get in the way now and then, they're really there not to not to bother us, not to say, oh, well, you know, you've broken one of those commandments, okay? But they're really helpful so that we'll have an abundant life, so that we can live the way God made us to live. And so the Ten Commandments, important for our life, kind of now become the Ten Tips. Oh, yeah. We can take that or leave that, but we can't, can we? We can't take what God has said for granted. When we do that, civilization begins to crumble. And we are standing in the middle of a civilization that is crumbling, brothers and sisters. We are standing in the middle of a generation who is depressed, suicidal, beside themselves, because we've tossed the 10 tips out the window. Now, you were thinking that, well, Bishop Frank's going to be here today, so he's going to have a happy message for you.
Okay.
And it is happy if we come to deal with the reality that we're living in the midst of.
Okay.
And the issue is that the Lord loves us. And the Lord walks with us at this moment. In fact, we're going to even pray for some of our young people today that they are filled with more of the Holy Spirit. Well, that Holy Spirit brings discernment, spiritual discernment, to decide, help us decide good and bad. The question is, have we become so anesthetized, whatever that word is, in our own generation that we don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit? And so we leave the TV running or whatever else is going on. We just let it happen because it's going to happen that way. Now, Jesus is talking about the community life. And he's saying if somebody is sinning, in other words, if somebody is regularly against the commandments of God in their life, we need to come against that. We need to talk to that person. We don't need to have rumors. We don't need to have grumbling. We don't need to do all this extra stuff. We need to talk to the person about what God says in his word and about what their life is doing, okay? And so Jesus gives us permission as a community to do that. I mean, he's already told Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you permit, okay? And so now he tells the community, you all, he's saying, whatever you all bind will be bound, whatever you permit will be allowed to happen. Whatever you don't permit, the heavenly authority will be with you as a community of believers and Christians. So it's all our task. It's not just Pastor Brian or Andrew's task, Deacon Anna. It is all our task to be involved with putting sin out. As Anglicans, you know, we've tried to do that already with a denomination. If you're coming from the Methodist Church or the Presbyterian Church, and even some of those Baptists are doing the same thing. If people are not following the Word of God, if they're not following the Scripture, if they give no evidence of knowing what the 10 tips are, we need to say, this is crucial to the Lord. This is crucial to our life together. And Jesus promises to be with us as the community as we exercise that authority. Now, you and I love this verse, okay? And we pull this verse out. Oh, Bishop Frank, whenever two or three of the brethren dwell together in unity, there is Jesus with us. Doesn't that make you feel great? Of course it makes us feel great, but the issue is, as we live together as the community, and sometimes that means confronting sin in a brother or sister's life, Jesus is part of that too. Amen? I mean, this is the context that we read that in Matthew, okay? Now, we do believe that when two or three of us agree, okay, to bind or loose something here, it will be bound or loosed in heaven. Okay? So as we agree in prayer for healing, we know that that will be done because we have Jesus' authority to do that. And we would much rather pray for healing for somebody than to tell them, hey, brother, I don't think you should be buying this smoky stuff that you're doing, this sweet-smelling, wonderful smoke stuff. Now, I love incense. I have an incense burner in my office, and I burn incense there. Ken and Sean can recognize that. So I'm not talking about burning incense, folks. I'm talking about smoking the weed or other smoky stuff. Incense is all we should be smoking, all right, if we're offering it to the Lord. That other stuff is bad, okay? And so we need to confront our brothers and sisters. Hey, why don't you try some of this over here? No, I don't want to try that. I know that that will alternate my alternator, okay? I know what's going on. I don't need to do that. Jesus helps me. I don't need drugs to do this, but we have people taking drugs all the time. We have people taking drugs to get lifted up. Well, and then they get lifted up too far, and so then they take drugs to kind of damp it down a little bit. We don't need drugs. We need Jesus in our life. Amen? And we need to be trusting him for these things. Now, in chapter 18 is a teaching section of Matthew. You know, there's five teaching sections in Matthew, right? The Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7. The Mission of the Disciples, chapter 10. The Parables, chapter 13. And here today, we're in chapter 18, and we're talking about life in the community, and Jesus is there, and Jesus gives us authority to do these things, and Jesus wants us to exercise authority. Now, we don't have to exercise it like Genghis Khan or somebody like that, because he starts out the chapter 18, this teaching that's all put together here, by talking about humility. We need to be in a relationship of humility one to another. He starts it by overhearing the disciples saying, well, who is the greatest among us, brethren? I mean, we're following Jesus right now, and he loves us, but really, who is number one? And we make, as disciples, big mistakes trying to work all that stuff out and figure all that stuff out. Now, Pastor Brian realizes that he's under the bishops, and that's a juridical thing, and so he prays daily for handsome, young, highly intelligent, well-formed, well-coiffed bishops. I know you do. But those are not the criteria, are they? They're not the criteria that Jesus is using for the community. He's saying, disciples, I don't think you're being too humble today. If you're trying to figure out which one is the greatest, you're not being very humble. He comes to the end of this teaching, and it's forgiveness. Forgiveness. The end of chapter 18 is talking about forgiveness. Peter, you know, who appears to be number one, okay, and he is. The Gospels are clear that Peter is really the spokesman for this group of ragtag disciples that Jesus, through prayer, has picked. Well, praise the Lord, because we're kind of ragtaggy too. Amen. And that means that he's picked us too. We better not be in another place if this is the place where he's called us. But we must be humble with our brothers and sisters. We must be forgiving. Peter says, well, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister? Because if it's any more than three, I know they're faking me out. And that was the rule. Well, you can forgive somebody three times, but if they do it again, they're gone. They're out. We don't want any more to do with them. We'll set them aside. And Jesus says, what does Jesus say? Now, we didn't read that today. And I doubt that if you prepared for today's teaching, you even went that far in chapter 18. But what does Jesus say about forgiveness to Peter right now in chapter 18? Peter says, well, do we have to forgive him seven times? That's twice. That's twice than what all the other rabbis are saying, okay? That's twice. But what does Jesus say? Looks like we got to do more work here, Pastor. 70 times 7. All righty. There we go. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. We're glad he came to church today. Praise God. 70 times 7. Who can remember that? That's exactly the issue. Nobody can. If you're counting, you're not forgiving. You're counting. Well, they've done this again. Forgive them. Forgive them. Because that is rooted in God's character, that idea of gracious forgiving, that idea of mercy extending beyond the bounds of normal mercy. There's probably no bounds to mercy, right? Okay, but we may put them there. Well, I've been merciful today. Maybe I'll be merciful tomorrow too. No! This is rooted in God's character of forgiving and forgiving us, because we're consistently not paying attention to the 10 tips. And so God extends that mercy again. God extends that grace again. God extends that forgiveness again. Amen? And so he's calling us to do the same. He sent Jesus to be that price that's needed to enable mercy, grace, and forgiveness in our community. So if we want a community that looks like Jesus, that looks like the character of God, we need to be able to extend that mercy and that grace and that forgiveness 70 times 7. Oh, my golly. I don't know if we can do that because we're really good at counting. Well, that's the 455th time she's done that this week. Right? So, if we're counting, we're not forgiving. Amen? But Jesus promises to be with us even as we confront sin in people's lives. After he's told us that we need to be like children in the sense that we are totally dependent on the Lord. We're not dependent on what we think the Lord is saying. We're totally dependent on the Lord. All this is crucial to the life in the community. Now, we can go on and talk about this for a long time, and because I'm a bishop, I'm used to talking about things for a long time. But I've already said enough. It's crucial for us to realize today that the Lord demands more from us who he has saved, from us who he has rescued, because he wants to show through us God's character, mercy, grace, forgiveness. But we also need to be clear about confronting sin and asking people to put that away and helping them to do that. This is what he's calling us to do. And he promises to be with us even then, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I among them. My authority is there, but also my grace, my mercy, my forgiveness. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.